What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, no one should be surprised because the Wizards had a big lead. They blew the big lead in the fourth quarter and they lost the game. We've been here, I think this is at least the third time, maybe fourth time this season that the Wizards led by double digits entering or at some point in the fourth quarter and ended up losing that game. So again, it wasn't a surprise. My guy Sherm was commenting on a bunch of my posts, specifically saying like, "Greg, how are they gonna blow this game?" Because we all know it's gonna happen. So credit to him, and it wasn't just him. My guy Will also commented that they're gonna blow the game. They did blow the game. They had a 15-point lead entering the fourth quarter against a good Cleveland Cavaliers team that had Mitchell, had Garland back, Mobley was playing, and they dominated them for three quarters. But you had the feeling that they were going to blow it in the end. They did. Cleveland got 48 from Mitchell. He was nails down the stretch, made pretty much every contested three. He was awesome. Nonetheless, despite his performance, the Wizards had several moments to win this game. CJ McCollum with a master class in how to lose a game, how to shoot your team out of a game. Like, I don't care that CJ had 27 points. He was 1 of 8 in the fourth quarter. He was a -9 in the fourth quarter. He's not the reason the Wizards lost this game, but he is a factor in that because it's another game where it's like sometimes CJ is awesome down the stretch and he can't miss, and he's the reason the Wizards are able to pull some games out. I say some games, they've won three all season in 23 attempts, but sometimes he's good. Tonight he was awful, and it's been a theme this season that a lot more times than not, CJ McCollum is awful down the stretch. Tonight was another point, 1 of 8 from the field in the fourth quarter, was not good when the Wizards needed the most. On the contrary, Bob Carrington was awesome. His best game of the season, 27 points, 8 assists, 6 boards. We'll get into him a lot more. But again, it's another loss for the Wizards. They played well, which is the part that is disheartening. Like, I thought this was one of their better efforts through three quarters of the season. And like, even when Cleveland roared back, they responded. But they didn't have enough in the end. They didn't have that alpha to kind of pull them out of this and say, "All right, we're gonna go win this game." Hopefully, they get that in the draft next year. That's what a lot of Wizards fans have been clamoring for. But it's a great effort nonetheless. Like, yes, they blew the game. That's disappointing. But last time, and I like throughout rebuilds, especially the Wizards won the last 3 years, to sort of compare, like, if they get blown out one game, that's all right. But like, the next time you play that team, you're hoping for a way more competitive effort. You're hoping that you can learn some of those lessons. Last time Cleveland came to Washington, it was 148 to 115. They dominated. It wasn't even a game. But tonight, like, they had to work for everything. Mitchell played, I don't know how many minutes, but he had to get nearly 50 points for that Cavs team to come in here and beat a Wizards team that didn't have Sar or Kispert. They didn't have Bilal Coulibaly, no Chris Middleton. So that's down three starters. And the Wizards probably should have won this game. Cleveland played really well down the stretch. The Wizards didn't. But if you want to take a positive from it, this was definitely a much better showing. A 4-point loss tonight, 130 to 126, than that 33-point loss about 3 weeks ago. So to try to get into it, they had a solid start for a little synopsis of you guys that maybe missed the game. Played a really good first quarter. They were up 24-21 in the first quarter, and then Brian Keefe kind of went with a unique bench. He goes with Will Riley. Who else did he go with? Jameer Watkins, who, by the way, was awesome tonight. And believe me, we'll get into some Jameer Watkins praise. But he went with Riley and Watkins off the bench with Tristan Vukcevic. Trey Johnson returned in his first game from that hip flexor strain, missed, I think, 7 games. With that injury, he was all right tonight, still obviously getting his footing. But a noteworthy absence in that was Cam Whitmore, who logged the second straight DNP, which, for you who don't know, that's a did not play coach's decision. It's very fascinating situation to see unfold because the last time you heard from me, I was recording with my friend Ben, and that was right before Brian Keefe went on the Junkies and kind of said something different than he had said previously. Like, after the game on Friday, Keefe said, "Hey, like, Whitmore didn't play. We have certain standards he needs to uphold on the better," basically calling Cam out and saying we need him to better uphold those standards. We need him to play better with more effort, whatever that is. He called him out pretty clearly, right? And basically said, "No, he wasn't sick. We benched him." And then he appeared on the Junkies later in the week, and his tone sort of changed a little bit, where he wasn't really saying that Whitmore did anything wrong, and it was more so they wanted to get other people looks. It was definitely a switch up. He said, quote, "We wanted to try something new. He didn't do anything wrong. We wanted to get others involved," end quote, he being Cam. And then tonight, you see, like, is it another instance of getting others involved? Because look, like, I think Cam Whitmore is very talented, but he had not been showing enough effort. He had been shooting his team out of games sometimes, and sort of the bad outweighed the good moments, which at times were great moments, emphatic dunks, some solid defense here and there, but the effort wasn't there. You insert Will Riley and Jameer Watkins the last couple games. The effort is on 100 for both of those guys. I mean, Will Riley had a moment tonight. He was scrapping for loose balls, getting offensive rebounds. Jameer Watkins is everywhere. I compare Jameer to Lu Dort pre-draft. He kind of looked, I mean, it's the hairstyle, I think, that kind of reminded me of Castle. But like, he knocked down threes. He played good defense. They're a similar build. I don't know. I saw that too, but his defense is awesome. Donovan Mitchell had 48. He worked for that 48 when Jameer was guarding him. Jameer had got his hands in passing lanes. He blocked or stripped, I guess, Evan Mobley going up for a layup. Got a couple of deflections. I think he finished with two blocks on the night. But he was so awesome. I think his final stat line, I want to get this right for Jameer. He played 29 minutes off the bench, 15 points on 6 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from three, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. That's awesome. Two of those offensive rebounds, like, he was everywhere. They were clearly disrespecting him from three, which valid. Like, he wasn't the best 3-point shooter, isn't the best 3-point shooter. And the Cavs were like, we'll make him beat us. And he did for the better part of the game. So that was nice. Again, I believe he was taken out at the end of the game. I can double check that right now in the fourth quarter, because obviously I mentioned, CJ McCollum closing the game. Jameer Watkins checked in for Sean Penny pretty early in the fourth quarter. Trying to see if he closed the game or not. But Jameer Watkins was all over the place. He was so good tonight. Just really enjoyed watching him play. And it's sort of like that's the guy that they drafted, what was it, 42nd, I believe, in the draft. Like, they traded back. Like, they had the 18th pick. They traded back, got Will Riley still, got Jameer Watkins, and two additional second round picks because the Jazz so wanted Walter Clayton. And I had a lot of Wizards fans earlier in the season saying, like, oh, well, are you upset they didn't get Walter Clayton? They got two players who balled out tonight, and Riley didn't have the production, but if you watched, he definitely passed the eye test, and he's had the production in previous games. You had two guys tonight that off the bench were the spark, the reason that your team was able to claw back from a little bit of an early hole at the end of the first quarter, take I think a most 17-point lead led by 15 entering the fourth quarter. They lost, but realistically, those were two of your best players tonight. And you got them to move back just 3 spots to take Will Riley, picked up Jameer Watkins, and then added 2 additional seconds. So, like, it just that trade keeps looking better. I applauded it on draft night. Still a big fan of that move, and it's paying dividends. So, both of those guys were I thought fantastic. Bob Carrington, it's hilarious because in the two games that, I mean, I tweeted out that graphic of Bob Carrington. Where again, like, I wasn't trashing Bub. Like, I don't do that here. I just presented the stats, and I was like, look, this is a young, I think he's 20, maybe he's 19. I think he's 20, 20-year-old guard in his second year. He's struggling. He still has a lot of upside, but why isn't it working in year two? And he had at that point had been having a down season pretty much in every statistical category, except for his 3-point percentage, which pretty much has skyrocketed. I think he's around 43, 44% for the season on a good volume now. But tonight, he kind of put it all together. Last Friday or Saturday was like a little bit of a peek into him putting it together with the season high 14 points. Tonight, he was awesome. He finished with 27 points on 10 of 20 from the field, 5 of 13 from three. He was knocking him down. Like, in transition, his ability to pull up with momentum and drain it, he made a couple of those tonight, got to his spots in the mid-range, which I thought was really nice to see. Got to the rim, had several times where he put 2 feet into the paint, and whether that was to get a little bit of a scoop layup, which I saw at times, or to kick out to open shooters, he seemingly made the right decision pretty much every single time he had the ball tonight. He had a couple turnovers, but not as much as he usually has. I thought he was fantastic. Scored from all three levels, got his teammates involved, helped on the boards, finished with six rebounds. I think he was a plus seven. At one point I checked, he was like a plus 26 when the Wizards were dominating. His best game this season, it's his first 20-point game since April 3rd, which I think might have been that 30 ball against the Magic last season where he was awesome. It was just nice. Like it's one of those where yes, you're happy for the team. They played well. You're kind of happy for the player here, knowing what Bub has gone through in the last year, knowing what he's probably gone through this season. You know, this hasn't been the season to this point that he expected or wanted, and these last two games have been the two best he's played all season through 23 games. So it was really nice to see him put it together. And yes, they blew another 15 plus point lead in the fourth quarter. We already kind of addressed that, and there will be more to come from that later in the episode. But you gotta applaud that, because that was one of the great shining moments of tonight, which was kind of a tough loss, is the fact that Bub seems to be finding his footing, his confidence, his stride, kind of getting back to the player that Wizards fans got a sneak peek into his rookie year last season. But I really loved what Bub was able to do tonight. Made some really good plays as a primary ball handler. Started again at point guard. Can't say enough. Really enjoyed his performance. I already applauded Jameer for a lot of what he did. Apart from that, like we talked about Riley too, right? Like scrapping for loose balls, bringing the energy. He had a nice wraparound pass to Bagley for a dunk. He makes the right plays. His mom's always saying like he's a point guard. I think he is. Like maybe he's a combo guard, but I'm confident if you had to play Will Riley minutes at that position, I think he would do quite well in those minutes. So just a really fantastic showing from him. I mean, apart from that, like that's kind of some of the positives. Kind of going through the box score real quick. Like Bagley again, solid 15 points on 6 of 10 from the field, was a plus 12 with 13 boards. Really liked his activity, 4 assists. I thought late in the game, when the Wizards, I believe, were the game was tied at 122, he got hacked by Mobley. He was not happy. They didn't call it. Mitchell goes down the other end. He scores. Wizards timeout. That was a pretty tough sequence. But again, it was another moment and another night where I thought Bagley was awesome. So really enjoyed his performance. Key 15 on 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, 3 assists. Like, again, not bad. 5 fouls, not great. But Key again continues to improve from 3. I think he's in the mid 40% from 3 this year, shot 32% last year. So the growth from outside, the confidence from outside from George has definitely been awesome to see. 14 off the bench from Vucevic on 3 of 7 for the field, made 8 free throws. So I like that he got to the line. What I didn't like was his defense. And a lot of times that shows in the box score and the plus minus. He was a minus 16. Just not great. Like when your starting center is a plus 12, and your backup center is a minus 16, I don't really care about the points and the production. I more so care why are you scored 14, that's great. You got to the line, but why are you a minus 16? And it's just they couldn't guard anything when Tristan was in. A lot of the runs from the Cavs came with Tristan in the game. So again, it's the same stuff with him. I think a stint in the G League when Sarr gets back would be beneficial to him. But he's definitely got to get a lot better on defense, and hopefully that's something we see. Trey, 1 of 6 from the field, 0-3 from 3 with 3 points, and his return was a minus 11. What kind of stuck out to me tonight wasn't necessarily the fact that he couldn't make a shot. I thought he got good looks, maybe a little rust there. The defense was something that kind of stuck out to me. Like anytime they could get a switch onto Trey, they exploited it. Donovan just kind of drove right through him like he wasn't there. Same with some of the other guys on the team. That was definitely a low point of his pre-draft evaluation, and he hasn't been the best on defense this year. I'm not concerned about it because the Wizards were still so confident in his offensive abilities that they were able to, you know, look past that. And so was I had him third on my board. So it's not a concern, but I did kind of notice that tonight. You know, definitely something that he needs to improve. But he'll shake off the rust. He'll definitely get back to his offensive production at some point. But again, like this is another instance of a game where if you just kind of show me the score and you didn't show me that they were up by 15 points entering the fourth quarter, and you didn't show me they would lead by as many as 17 after trailing by as many as 11, I would be like, this is a banner tank loss. Like this is one of those, yeah, they lost, but they were in control. They kind of gave a little bit of a scare to a Cavs team that's trying to compete for a title. I would be content with it. And I still sort of am, considering the performance you got from Bub, the performances you got from Watkins and Riley off the bench. Bagley continues to play well. A lot of those things are promising. What is not promising is the fact that this team cannot close games. They can't finish off games where they're leading by double digits, whether that's in the fourth quarter or at any other point. You know, and the fan base just knows, which is a bad thing, I think, that you're not going to win the game. No matter who you're playing against, you're going to find a way to blow it. And look, the Cavs played really well down the stretch, and they didn't play too well for the first three quarters. And give credit to the Wizards for exploiting that. But like, when you're in crunch time, you need to be able to close some of these games. Like, and I've said this multiple times throughout the year, throughout these post-game pods, you are up 15 points entering the fourth quarter. You hadn't played in 6 days. You should be fully healthy. Well, not like in terms of injuries, but the guys that are playing fully rested, fully recovered, to where the fourth quarter shouldn't be like a trail off point. It shouldn't be like that. And it's like clockwork. Like the Cavs opened the fourth quarter with a 5-0 run. In 3 minutes, they had the lead down to 1 point. And the Wizards made two threes to put it up to seven. Timeout Cavs, they come right back and later take the lead. It's the same stuff that plagues this team where maybe Keith can make some adjustments early in games, but in the fourth quarter, when you need it most, the execution isn't there, the adjustments aren't there, the right guys, I don't think, are in the game to close it. And as a result, that's what happens. And you could say what you want about, well, CJ McCollum was the one that missed the shots. Brian Keith didn't miss the shots. If you're Brian Keith, man, you can't live and die by the CJ McCollum ISO. Because in the fourth quarter, it was literally, okay, CJ ball top of the key, sidestep three, and he missed them all. He didn't make a single three in the fourth. He would have been 0 for 8 if it weren't for the fact that when the Cavs were up four, they just allowed him into the lane for free for a layup so they wouldn't give up a three. Like that was something that happened, and that's the only reason he was able to make a shot in the fourth quarter. Like he didn't have it going. Bob Carrington made a nice bank shot and a scoop layup and a three down the stretch. Like he played a really good total game, all four quarters. Keyshawn George had it going, made a three in the fourth. You had guys like Bagley that were playing well, and you're going to the guy in CJ who can't find his rhythm in the fourth. Like, I get it, he's your best crunch time player, but maybe go to somebody who has it going. Maybe say, hey, I'm the head coach. I should adjust a little bit and say, this isn't working. We need to fix it. And he did it. He just kind of stands there and says, hey, CJ, you do you. Because the most frustrating thing, I think, for NBA fans is like the same thing in football, in the NFL or college. Like, you're up by a touchdown late in the game, or you're up by a field goal late in the game. You've been playing good defense to that point. Why are you now switching things up? Why are you now being in prevent defense and allowing certain things you wouldn't have allowed earlier in the game? It seems like the Wizards get a lead in the fourth and they just play, you know, six deep. They play prevent defense and they say, hey, work your way back a little bit because we're going to play not to lose and not play to win. And then hopefully we kind of get lucky in the end to where you miss some shots. Because that's happened like against the Mavericks in the second game of the season. Like they came back and they probably could have won that game, but they didn't miss some quality looks at the end. It's a very real thing. And it's something that no matter your intentions, no matter how much you're tanking and trying to lose, you have to teach them winning habits. You have to teach these young guys how to close games. And it'll come eventually, but it's a scary thing to see. Like, this has been a problem all throughout the rebuild, especially this season, where they have a lead, especially a double-digit one in the fourth quarter, and they can't hold on to the lead. The coach can't adjust to get his team to respond to these runs. It's like they can do that throughout a game, but when it comes to the fourth, they fold. They can't do it. I get it. It's inexperience, but there's experience in terms of CJ McCollum, and he couldn't make a shot. So I'm sure Brian Keefe will say that he really liked the fight and the compete, and you can't get mad at him for that because it's true. I also applauded the fight and the hard efforts and the play. Like, I thought the Wizards played a very good game of basketball for three quarters. And a lot of the moments in the fourth were actually pretty good, but they just couldn't put it together for an entire four quarters. And it gets disheartening at a certain point when the fan base literally says, oh, nice. Like, you played good for three quarters. Now you're going to lose. And that's probably better for the long run. But let's just get it over with now because save us some time. We know you're going to lose the game. And it's not like the Wizards have really done anything to disprove those people. So again, pretty tough loss if you're the Wizards. In the grand scheme of things, it's a great tank loss, right? Like, they play really well for three quarters. Bob Carrington, who had struggled all season, has his best game of the season, one of the best games of his NBA career. Your two draft picks after Trey Johnson and Will Riley and Jameer Watkins have awesome games for Watkins, his best NBA game in what, his sixth appearance this season. Looked great on both ends. Will Riley was all over the place on both ends, despite the production maybe not being there in the box score. Marvin Bagley played well. You had contributions across the board. You played great for three quarters, and then you just kind of imploded when it mattered. And a really great effort that could have easily been your fourth win turns into a loss, which in the end is better for the tank. So if you're simply looking at it from like a tanking perspective, from a we need to keep, if you're a Wizards fan, you're saying we need to keep our top four protected pick or top eight protected pick. We need to finish bottom four to ensure that. And now staying at three wins, that definitely helps. Like, sure, you would be able to say this is an awesome effort and this is a great tank loss. For those that watch the game and have watched all 23, like myself, you understand that this is actually like an epidemic within this team where they can't close out close games or games where they have big leads. And when you're trying to build a winning culture, like stuff like this matters, and it's no cause for concern or panic. Like, the Pistons were in the same spot 2 years ago, and look at them now. They're first in the East. So it can be done. They did get a new coach, and they did get some veteran additions, and that definitely helps. But here and there, you'd like to see them close out some of these games. Like, they beat Atlanta, they beat Milwaukee. Those are two pretty good wins in the last week or so. This would have been awesome. This would have been clearly their best win of the season. But look, Mitchell was terrific. The Wizards, I thought, turned it over again way too much, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, 16 turnovers seems to be the bar for this team, which is not good. Anything below that is typically a solid game, which again is not good. But here we are. Wizards fall 130 to 126, a game that they led by 15 entering the fourth, were then outscored by 19 in the fourth. And it's, I believe, the third or fourth time this season that they've blown a double-digit lead and lost the game in the fourth quarter. So not the result I'm sure they wanted, or honestly I expected at points tonight. But when they entered the fourth quarter and they had a big lead, and you knew the Cavs were going to fight and do everything they can, can't be too surprised at the result. So definitely got to take away some positives with Bub Carrington, Jameer Watkins, and Will Riley, and Marvin Bagley too. I thought all of them played a really good game. Cam Whitmore, another DNP coach's decision. We'll see what Keefe says post game. By the time I'm recording this, I haven't seen anything yet. But definitely an interesting thing to monitor throughout the season in terms of it's another DNP for Whitmore. You have Keefe kind of switching it up, saying one thing and then saying another, whether it's, yeah, Cam didn't play because he has to basically have, be better, meet our standards. And then the next night basically saying, or a couple of days later saying, hey, it had nothing to do with Cam or effort or anything. We just want to give guys other looks. The other guys that he gave looks to, Watkins, Riley, like, they have made good on Keefe doing that. But definitely something to monitor situation-wise with Cam and how he responds. Like, I don't know how long he's going to be in Keefe's doghouse for, but it's definitely very interesting. A guy that you thought would play a lot more, was a staple in the rotation a couple games ago, and now he's out of the rotation in favor of some much younger guys that are playing well. But definitely something to monitor throughout the season. But that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards fall 130 to 126 to the Cavaliers. They are dead last in the NBA. The Pelicans picked up their first win or their fourth win the other night. So they have four wins. The Wizards are the lone NBA team, I believe, at the moment with three wins. So they're dead last. Next game is at Indiana. The last time they were there, they lost by 33. So we'll see how that one goes. That's on Sunday at 3. And then they have a couple more days off before they're at San Antonio, at Memphis, then San Antonio again at home. So not like the easiest stretch. Indiana's not good record-wise, but you know that they're still a good team because they dominated Washington last time. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going to do it for another episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards fall again. We'll be back Sunday to recap the Indiana loss. Thanks for listening.